you? Well, you bloody did, Clancy. Clancy looked embarrassed, but then rallied. All right, then, he said hotly. What about that one you used yesterday, as busy as a one-armed carpenter in Smackaroo? What about it? I looked it up in the Atlas and there's no such place, boss. There damn well is. There isn't. Anyway, no one would employ a one-armed carpenter, would they? So he wouldn't be busy, would he? Listen, Clancy, he'd go fishing or something, wouldn't he? Clancy, we are supposed to be carving a new language out of the wilderness here. Probably needs someone to help him bait the line, but Clancy, will you shut up and go and get the horses? It took 20 minutes to roll enough of the rocks away, and 5 minutes after that, Clancy reported back. Can't find the little bastard, boss, and we looked underneath all the others. It couldn't have got past us. Yes, it could, boss. You saw it going up those cliffs, probably miles away by now. You want I should go after that bloke? Remorse thought about it and spat. Nah, we got the colt back. That's worth the money. He stared reflectively down the canyon. You all right, boss? Clancy, after we get back to the station, go on into town and call in at the Pastoral Hotel and bring back as many corks as they got, will you? Think it'll work, boss? He was as weird as... Clancy was pulled up by the look in his boss's eyes. He was pretty weird, he said. Weird, yeah, but smart too. No flies on him. Behind them in the jumble of rocks and bushes at the end of the canyon, a drawing of a small horse became a drawing of a kangaroo and then faded into the stone. The worst thing about losing your temper with Mustrum Ridcully was that he never noticed when you did. Wizards, when faced with danger, would immediately stop and argue amongst themselves about exactly what kind of danger it was. By the time everyone in the party understood, either it had become the sort of danger where your options are so very, very clear that you instantly take one of them or die, or it had got bored and gone away. Even danger has its pride. When he was a boy, Ponder Stibbons had imagined that wizards would be powerful demigods, able to change the whole world at the flick of a finger. And then he'd grown up and found that they were tiresome old men who worried about the state of their feet, and in harm's way would even bicker about the origin of the phrase, in harm's way. It had never struck him that evolution works in all kinds of ways. There were still quite deep scars in old buildings that showed what happened when you had the other kind of wizard. His footsteps took him, almost without his being aware, along the gently winding path up the mountain. Strange creatures peered at him from the undergrowth on either side. Some of them looked like... Wizards think in terms of books, and now one crept out from the shelves of Ponder's memory. It had been given to him when he was small. In fact, he'd still got it somewhere, filed away in a cardboard box. Ponder had been that kind of child. He still had all the pieces for every game he'd ever been given. Ponder had been the kind of boy who carefully reads the label on every Hogswatch present before opening it, and notes down in a small book who it is from, and has all the thank-you letters written by tea-time. His parents had been impressed even then, realising that they had given birth to a child who would achieve great things, or perhaps be hunted down by a righteous citizenry by the time he was 10. It had consisted of lots of small pages on a central spiral. Each one showed the head, body or tail of some bird, fish or animal. It was possible for the sufficiently bored to shuffle and turn them so that you got, say, a creature with the head of a horse, the body of a beetle, and the tail of a fish. The cover promised hours of fun, although after the first 3 minutes, you couldn't help wondering what kind of person could make that kind of fun last for hours. Suffocating him as kindly as possible now would save the serial crime squad a lot of trouble in years to come. Ponder, however, had hours of fun. Some of the creatures... things in the undergrowth looked like the pages of that book. There were birds with beaks as long as their bodies. There were spiders the size of hands. Here and there the air shimmered like water. It resisted very gently as Ponder tried to walk through it and then let him pass. But the birds and insects didn't seem inclined to follow him. There were beetles everywhere. Eventually, by easy stages, the winding path reached the top of the mountain. There was a tiny valley there just below the peak. At the far end was a large cave mouth lit by a blue glow within. A large beetle sang past Ponder's ear. The cave mouth opened into a cavern filled with misty blue fog. There was a suggestion of complex shadows, and there were sounds, whistles like zipping noises, the occasional thud or clang that suggested work going on somewhere in the mist. Ponder brushed aside the beetle that had landed on his cheek and stared at the shape right in front of him. It was the front half of an elephant.